For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Believe in UCLA Football Podcast. We'll be here with a new episode for you right after this quick note. With the NFL playoffs right around the corner and the NBA in full swing, BetOnline has you covered with all the up-to-the-second news, odds, and scores. With additional odds, lines, trends, and info on both desktop and mobile, you can access the world's best wagering information anytime. Head there today and get in on the action to see all the updated odds. Remember to use the promo code BELIEVE to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Believe in UCLA Football Podcast. My name is James Williams, a reporter and editor for the Orange County Register and the Southern California News Group. And as always, I'm joined here by my co-host, former UCLA linebacker Josh Woods. Josh, what's going on, man? Happy birthday.
Thanks, man. I'm getting older. It's crazy. I always say it like, because COVID, I feel like I lost like 2 years or 3 years. Mm-hmm. Like, I still feel like I'm like 21, 22, but, you know, I'm getting up there.
Sometimes I still feel that way too. Sometimes I don't. I'll tell you why in a minute. But what did you do for your birthday? Anything special, or is it just kind of, it's just another year at this point?
I'm starting a new tradition. I want to be okay, like a kid on my birthday. See, I went yesterday. I went to the zoo.
Okay. I respect it. Which one?
So I went to San Diego.
Okay.
Very nice. Very nice. But yeah, so the older I get, on my birthday will be the day where I don't feel old.
I feel that.
And I'm going to see how long I can keep it going.
Speaking of that, I felt kind of old yesterday. I had some moments. I fell at my house twice yesterday. Twice. Once on the stairs, messed up my shoulder. Mm. Still made it to the gym though. Yeah, I was like, damn, you know, I was wearing my Crocs, right? And I was like going up on the stairs, and I was trying to, you know, get my high knees going up the stairs, and my Croc thought
Did
otherwise.
You have the sport mode?
No, sports mode is with the strap on, around the,
with
around
your, the, with foot? The strap around your heel locked
yeah,
in.
Yeah. I'm normally not a sports mode guy. I try it, but it kind of bothers the heel. Are you a sports mode guy?
If you're about to do something like, or you got to kind of, you need them to be tight on your feet, you got to go in sport mode.
Yeah, but you're like, you're in the kitchen, you're just running up the stairs, you don't think anything of it. And again, I still feel like I'm 22 too sometimes, even though I'm 32.
Maybe you shouldn't have wore the Crocs in the house up the stairs.
Yeah, I got to reevaluate some of my life decisions. But yeah, so enough about that. Hopefully I don't fall anymore. I normally don't fall, but I was 0-2 yesterday. Took my L's, but bounced back. We said to do a podcast. So obviously this is a UCLA football podcast. There's a lot to talk about. I think since the last time I talked to you, Josh, we've exchanged texts and stuff, obviously. But I don't know if I've talked to you mm-hmm. or we've done a podcast since the LA Bowl, right?
Yeah, it's been a minute.
What were your thoughts? That was your first and only UCLA game of the season. Again, I don't think we've talked about this already, but what were your thoughts and what did you think of SoFi? Was that your first time at SoFi?
First time at SoFi. I mean, okay. I didn't know how like vertical it is. Mm-hmm. Like I would not want to be at the top.
I've been at the top. But, I've been at yeah, the very top. Yeah.
I don't know how that is, but I'm glad I wasn't sitting up there. UCLA fans, we showed up and showed out. Mm-hmm. I feel like for the most part, it was home advantage. There was, you know, I feel like Boise State didn't really fill out their seats. Mm-hmm. especially like lower bowl. I feel like it was their side was a little emptier and our side was pretty full. And I was worried. The way it started off kind of shaky and I didn't know where the game was going. And then Ethan Garbers got in the game and pretty much, you know, took us to a victory. It was the time for, you know, the younger guys to kind of start stepping up, or like next year's team to kind of show up. And excited, you know, another year of TJ Harden, another year of Ethan Garbers. Hopefully, you know, that's a dynamic backfield. And, you know, we'll see what that entails. I don't know how the defense is going to be. Just so many, so many guys leaving, moving on from the program, you know, like graduating and or declaring for the league. But I'm glad. I mean, they finally, under Chip Kelly, finally got a bowl game victory. And it was at home.
That was huge. Yeah.
And the boys got to be at home for Christmas. So I'm not mad at it.
Think about that. So a few things from that. We'll talk about the defense in a minute. We'll talk about Garbers in a minute. But going back to the fans, I thought the UCLA fans did do well, better than I thought, just because, you know, the way things may have ended with UCLA and it being close to the holidays. I can also see the case why some UCLA fans want to see UCLA play at SoFi, not the Rose Bowl. I see it. I get it. I don't think it's going to happen. I think they should stay at the Rose Bowl. Do you have a take on that real quick on now that you've kind of, you know, kind of got a taste of that a little bit?
I mean, from either way, it's a drive. Either way, it's traffic. Either way, it's not on campus. So, like, that's where it doesn't make a difference to me. And then on one hand, SoFi is like newer and like NFL and vertical and covered, but man, nothing really beats a Rose Bowl and like that grass and like the tradition. Like you feel it when you walk in, just, you know, how special that place is. And I wouldn't move them. I mean, if you're not going to be on campus, you might as well be in one of the best stadiums in the world.
No, you're absolutely right about that. Just because, again, I did the Rose Bowl game too. And every time I go to the Rose Bowl game, every time, like, all the national media after that, they're like, the national championship should just be played at the Rose Bowl every year. The Rose Bowl is the best. And I'm just like, I guess. I mean, this, I go here every other week, so I'm kind of used to it. But watching the national media there, all the people you see on TV, like running up in the press box, up to the window, pressing their phone against the window just to get that mountain view and the sunset there on January 1st. It gets them every time. But yeah, I don't think they should leave the Rose Bowl. But SoFi is a good venue. You did mention Ethan Garber's there a little bit ago. Thoughts on him? I think it kind of came, like they kind of figured out their quarterback situation in the last game, which is, you know, but maybe maybe Chip had it right from the jump and should have just went with Ethan Garbers the whole way. I mean, it's easier to say that now, but what were your thoughts on Ethan Garbers' play?
For him to, I mean, whatever injuries, I mean, he said like he wasn't going to play because he felt like he was hurt and everything, but for him to step up and, you know, get the victory, it was good. And I think, you know, another year with him in the system, I think having the consistency, because that was one thing, like Dorian had the consistency of being in the system for, you know, 5 years and all the years and kind of getting better every year. Hopefully with Garbers, you know, let's not make this is the 3, 4, 5 quarterback competition. Give him the reins through spring ball. Let him take control of the offense, build chemistry with the guys. Because that's also a thing, too. When you got all these quarterbacks rotating and even at practice, just having them rotate, the timing with the receivers could be messed up from the cadence to the timing on routes. So having that consistency from day one of spring ball is only going to help, especially with, I mean, new additions to the offense, the receivers, think running back, like even as if they get more offensive linemen, all that, it's just having like that cohesive first unit where everybody's on the same page. You're not waiting to be like, okay, now I have Dante in, so I know his cadence might be a little slower. His progression might be a little faster to this side, or like, you know, if I'm running a slant, I can expect the ball here versus when Ethan's in, I can expect the ball here. His cadence might be fast. Like, all those types of things factor into how good your offense is going to be as a unit. So hopefully, yeah, they can all get on board. And that, and like I said, that's why we saw Dorian with that offense excel in his later years, because he was in the system and the people around him were used to him, and he was, you know, able to take control. So hopefully the offense, which will probably have more veterans going into next year in the Big Ten, will be consistent.
Yeah, so I did a series last week kind of breaking down each position group more or less at ocregister.com. Make sure you guys go check that out. One of them was the offensive line, and, you know, it really kind of gave me a chance to kind of lay things out and see, like, who's coming back and what it's going to look like. And it was a little shaky this year, the offensive line, but I think they'll have that second year together next year. The only one that's going to be gone is Duke, who was there in the as the center, so they're going to have to figure out who the center is going to be and who Ethan Garbers is going to be taking snaps from. But you're going to have Garrett DiGiorgio back. You're going to have Spencer Holstage, even though he went into the transfer portal for a cup of coffee, but quickly decided to come back. I don't know the full story there, but I think the Bruins will benefit from having him back. You'll have some of the other guys back on that offensive line as well. So you'll have some stability. You'll have some guys who are in their second year together. I think they'll have that figured out. You had J. Michael Sturdivant get involved, getting him the ball. And I think that was always the thing. Garber's always kind of got him the ball. I think we saw Kyle Ford get a little more involved than he had usually been throughout the season. So everyone kind of got involved. TJ Harden got involved and kind of took a majority of the reps there. I think that's good for him. He did well in the bowl game against Pitt last, or I guess 2 years ago now, however you want to phrase that. Yeah, Carson Steele was kind of a surprise departure. He declared for the NFL draft. A little bit of a surprise there, but I think they'll still be all right with TJ Harden. You're still going to have Anthony Atkins come back. You did get Cam Jones, who's coming in as the true freshman from St. John Bosco. So I think the backfield will be all right. And I don't think you got to worry at all. Go ahead.
And you get Keegan Jones back.
You got Keegan Jones coming back. First of all, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I don't know what the heck happened. I thought he was going to your boy Jim Mora over there at UConn. Did he recruit with Jim Mora? Did Jim Mora recruit him? Or I was trying to remember the timeline. Or was he after Jim Mora?
Trying to think of what class. I mean, it had to have been, now that I think about it, because I think he came. Is he the same class as Kaz Rallin or the year before?
He has to be the year. Kaz had to come in before him, no? Or did Kaz leave early?
That's what I'm.
Here, I have a roster. I have a roster here in front of me. Keegan Jones. Why don't I see him? Okay, great. It doesn't tell me if he's a senior or whatever. yeah.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I don't know. I think they benefit, obviously, from having him back. I think he's taking advantage of his COVID year coming back. So he would be like a fifth-year guy. So no, he would have been within Kelly. I think he was a Chip Kelly guy, if I remember correctly. I don't remember that off the top of my head. But what were your thoughts on him coming back? I think that helps. That benefits having him in the backfield and obviously what he can do as a receiver as well, right?
I ain't never seen nobody in a situation like that before. I don't know what happened. I'm glad to have him back. Yeah, because like he committed. I thought he signed with UConn. Like I thought
he did. They made like a fancy graphic for him and you know, like the signing day graphic thing. Yeah, they did the whole thing.
So I mean, maybe he got out of his NLI. He might have asked and got out of it, and then yeah, Coach Foster's probably like, yeah, come on back home. Mm-hmm. We're going to find a way to use him. I mean, he can be what Kaz was for the offense and the returning game. Yeah. Especially with, I don't know if Colson Yankoff is, I'm pretty sure he's, Colson, he departed. He declared.
Yeah, he's done. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think he's done.
So with him declaring, you now you need, I mean, I don't know why what Keegan wasn't back there.
I think there's just too many people back because you had Carson Steele come in. You got to get him the rock too. But I think it's going to be wide open.
I'm talking about even like Keegan has a lot. He has like the exact same speed as Kazmir Allen, but very mm-hmm. similar speed and quickness where Kaz was the gadget guy, the return mm-hmm. guy. Keegan can definitely fill that role. He could play running back. He can play receiver. Yeah, like I said, he can return punts and kicks.
They want people, just, fans are begging for him to return.
he's so fast. You just need to get the mm-hmm. find out to get way to get the ball in his hands. And that's another guy that's been in the system for so long. I know he knows the ins and outs of everything. I guarantee you know Foster would vouch for him to you know do his things and hopefully yeah we use him. And I was probably one of the things that brought him back. They probably told him like. We're going to have a role for you and, you know, hopefully we get you the ball more.
I wonder how much of that had to do with, I don't know. I don't have the timetable. I don't have it figured out. Obviously he was already signed there. So I just kind of thought it was a done deal, but maybe with Carson Steele leaving and declaring, maybe that didn't make things like that opened up some reps there for him or some carries. So maybe that was a factor in it. I don't know. I don't know if Chip or anyone will ever say, maybe if we get to interview Keegan at some point, we'll get a chance to talk to him. But I do want to flip over to the defensive side of the ball. Was there anything about the way they played in the first half and the way they played in the second half that stood out to you? Because I think the defense, obviously, I think one, it showed because Akaika Malloy took over as the interim defensive coordinator. Obviously, D'Anton Lynn went to USC. So Akaika Malloy takes over as the interim defensive coordinator, eventually is named the defensive coordinator. But I think it was pretty promising to kind of see the way he adjusted from the first half to the second half and was able to get that defense playing pretty well there in the second half. Was there any night and day differences that you saw with that defense against Boise State?
It just looked like they wanted to in the second half. The first half, I felt like, I don't know what it was. They looked like they didn't really want to be out there, didn't really want to tackle. The energy just wasn't there. They, you know, only person I seen really that was really going from the get was Darius. Mm-hmm. But in the second half, they seemed to really, you know, turn it on. I know maybe in the first half, they were frustrated maybe with the offense and just like everything that's going on and who's not playing and who's playing. Right. I don't know how much that factored into it, but the second half they definitely turned it on, and you could see the difference, just the way that they were playing, and that helped you know shut down Boise State in the second half and got them the win.
Yeah, and then obviously, so one, if you guys haven't already, make sure you guys look at the post game speech or from the post game press conference that Darius Mwasau said, just kind of. Recapping everything that was his time at Westwood and whatnot. I thought he had some pretty good stuff to say there, but yeah, defensive MVP for that game, the LA Bowl was Darius. Obviously the offensive player of the game with just a second half performance was Ethan Garbers. But as someone who was there, I'm sure you were kind of bummed out that you didn't get to see Latu, right? Well, you've seen Latu play in person, right? Cause you were at some of the games last year, right? So I guess you technically have seen him play before.
Did you play in the LSU game? That's the only other game I've been to as an alum.
No, you went to... Oh, no, you didn't go to that game. We did the raffle that game.
Yep, I gave the tickets away because I wasn't back in California.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, so you never saw him play. Because Latu wasn't there for LSU. Damn, you missed out.
It's crazy because Chris Barnes had just told me something about Latu today. Like, dang, that boy was balling this year. And I was like, yeah. Mm-hmm. His season was – it kind of reminded me of the breakout year that Takarsa McKinley had where, mm-hmm. I mean, I would say Latu had more hype going into the year, but I remember, like, Tack going to that season, like, I'm about to be a first rounder. Like, the hype might not be there, and but I'm about to put, you know, everybody on notice. And Latu had that – just impact off the get and definitely secured himself a first round draft pick. I think there's no way he doesn't get picked up on the first day. And just his impact all around. I feel like he might have got some coaches paid for how good he was. He might have got
he got some folks promoted. I know that much.
Yeah, he might have got Lynn that contract across the street, and he, you know, he got his coach the DC role. I think he had a major hand in that.
Yeah, and obviously the other surprise as far as guys who've declared for the NFL draft, you had the Murphy twins who went ahead and declared. I kind of thought for sure they were coming back. I think I had mentioned it on the podcast before, but we talked to the Murphy twins' dad on Twitter Spaces, and he said they were leaning on coming back. They wanted him to try and stay in school. But, I mean, he wasn't saying that was a for sure. He said if the situation was right, obviously, as it is for anybody. If the situation is right, you go. So the situation must have been right. They must have gotten some good grades kind of coming back from the different NFL scouts or however that process works when you're kind of testing the waters there for the NFL. So they must have got some good feedback, and they decided to go ahead and go. I think they should be somewhere at least day two, if not high, day three guys. But I think they'll have a future in the NFL for sure. I'm trying to think what else. Anything else from the LA Bowl stand out to you? Did you get to see anybody, any of your former teammates out there?
Yeah, I mean, just a few of the guys. I mean, the alumni, we showed up for the most part that I know of that, you know, there's guys scattered around the stadium.
And obviously, the CFL season, we didn't get a chance to talk about how that ended for you. How did it go?
Unfortunate, man. I mean, you lost in the West Final. Kind of the same. It was like the same situation from the year before. It felt like the same. It was cold, and it just was like right there, and we just never we never could get it going at the right time, and it felt like we ran out of time. And it's unfortunate. So, yeah, we'll see what my future has in store. I'm a free agent, so we'll see if I
– Wow.
Yeah, man. We'll see what's going on.
We'll see.
In the next month or so.
Oh, in the next month or so. Okay. Interesting. Cool. Real quick. So I saw you doing some cooking video.
Oh, yeah. We're trying to they had us trying to support the local produce from the grocery stores in the area, man. And yeah, me and my roommate. It was really hard, honestly. There wasn't like
y'all made it kind of look easy.
Like, we were there for way longer than I thought. Like, it took way. The thing was, like, yeah, they didn't have the most, like, BC grown, like, they had stuff, but, like, not all stuff to make, like, a full meal. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
We had to, like, throw some stuff together, and my roommate couldn't cook, so, of course, I had to do the whole thing. And the thing about that, too, is, like, I had to fully cook. Like, it wasn't, like, I mean, the video was only a minute long, but, like, it took hours to do. And it tasted cool. It didn't look the best because the way the noodles were, but it tasted good. The thing is, I was like, we could just, you know, say we're getting this, make it look like we're cooking, and already have pre-made meals. Come on.
Well, that's what I was gonna say. Did they say, hey, make this, or did you pick what you wanted? Did you get the ingredients?
That's what took a while. Like,
give you stuff.
We walked all over the grocery store and trying to find different stuff. And we're like, dang, what can we make? And I'm like, dang, what can I make? Because my roommate not going to do nothing. Like, he just going to be there. And then we just, like, you know, threw some stuff together. And it's like, oh, I can make like a some type of, you know, chicken pasta with this, you know, the sauce, you know, like finding different things.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Throw some veggies with it and call it a day. Like, and then, yeah, because that took probably like an hour just to figure that out. And then we had to actually film ourselves getting the stuff.
Okay. So there was no crew there. Like, so when you guys were cooking, was there someone there to videotape it, or like not videotape, but like to film it all?
But I'm not, but it's not like I got a stunt double or a real chef behind the scenes cooking it for me. Like, right. It was me.
Okay. Okay, cool. Because I had seen that, and I just wanted to check in on that and see how that went, and find out what the full story was beyond the 1 minute. Because everyone only gets to see 1 minute, but I wanted the full story on that.
I'm glad it was only showed 1 minute though. It's like a long process. It was like not boring. Like, we're funny. Like, there's a lot of things mm-hmm. they cut out, but like,
right.
I don't think we needed to be in that video.
And then you guys had to clean up and everything on your own after too.
Oh no, we used somebody else's kitchen, so they took. Oh, care that wasn't of that. Your we were there. Kitchen? No, we somebody in the business department. We used their space because that would have oh, really? Cooking at our place. It would have took even longer for us to go from where we were filming at, or like mm-hmm. that area, back to the city. Like, because they're it was in North Vancouver, which is like across the mm-hmm. water. Situation, so we'd have had to have crossed the bridge back and then go like from the top of the city to the bottom where we stay at. It just would have been it would have took way longer than it was. It already took like 4 or 5 hours. It would have took like 8 hours probably.
Damn.
Yeah,
all that work just for a minute video. Hopefully you had fun, but at least
you know, paid promotion and free groceries.
There you go. That's what matters. All right, Josh, I think we'll get you out of there on that. We'll have plenty of time throughout the offseason to break down a lot of the guys who went into the transfer portal, a lot of the guys who came back, as we've already talked about. And then, obviously, we had a lot of the guys who did come in from the transfer portal from other different schools have signed, and they're on campus now. So we'll be talking about a lot about that throughout the offseason. We'll probably be having some special guests here in the coming weeks, so stay tuned for that. And thank you guys for listening. And as always, we'll catch you guys in the next one. Thank you, everybody. This is the Believe in UCLA Football Podcast presented by Bet Online.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.